It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon, and this is In the Conversation, the podcast. Yes, yes, back up in here. Ali is away, but Muhammad will be back soon. But in the meantime, in between time, it is you and I. Thank you for tuning in and lending your ear and all of that. What's good with you? How you feeling? Yeah. Okay, that's correct. All right. That's what's up. That's what's up. That's good to hear. Happy fall. Summer's over. They closed the door on the summer the other day. Summer is over. We are in the fall, you know, where we ball. I don't know. That was terrible. That was terrible. Shout out to Muhammad. Legends of the fall. That's his whole movement. But yeah, we're back in the fall. Weather starting to cool off a little bit. Less sweat on your brow if you're a sweater. Shout out to the sweaters. But yeah, we here. Kids is going back to school. It's going to be a lot more room in the world outside, you know, between the hours of 8 and 3. It's going to be a nice little situation. But yeah, it was a hell of a summer. I enjoyed my summer. It was good. I had a good time. I didn't really do much for Labor Day outside of work. That's some crazy shit. I was laboring. I was playing a bunch of shows. I was all over. Shout out to Comedy in Harlem. Shout out to New York Comedy Club. Brooklyn Improv. Yeah, I was moving and grooving. It was a good time. Fun shows, good crowds. It was nice. I'm getting to this pod a little late because I just started watching the U.S. Open, what, like 2 days ago? And I'm such a casual fan, but I get caught up in the drama of it all. It's starting to get into the later portion of the tournament. I think we're going into the semifinals right now. And so I caught up. I watched a little bit of the Naomi Osaka, Elena Rybakina match. And I was going for Naomi. I fuck with Naomi. I seen her documentary and it had me invested in her and all of that. But I'm watching. I'm like, damn, this white girl is good. She good as shit. Like she was getting busy. So that was cool. Then I saw the Coco Gauff. I saw her play later on that night. She reminded me of Ayo Edebiri a little bit. But I like Coco. Coco be dead serious. Most of them be having it like they be dead ass. They be dead serious. They don't be playing around. When they come through, you know, I was watching, like, they come through the little tunnel they got. You see the fans with their phones and they trying to get dap. They all getting egged, most of them. Most of them getting egged. These women are focused. Most of these tennis players in general are focused. Ain't all of that pregame shenanigans and shit. And to be totally honest with you, I would feel a way if a motherfucker gave you too hard a dap and fucked up your hand when you got to play. You know, but yeah, Coco Gauff is L. I call a C gutter. You know, it don't take me a second but to get invested and start giving motherfuckers names and shit. And she got busy. Who did she play? She played this girl, Iva Jokic, who was good too. Again, this is the thing. As we get in further along in the tournament, I mean, the competition is better and better and better. And obviously, I'm not as knowledgeable about the field. You know what I mean? I know the most of the black people. There's still some new black people that I'm just getting hip to, like Francis. What's my man's name? Tiafoe. I think his name is Francis Tiafoe. Big Foe. They call him Big Foe. Hold on. Let me see what Big Foe's name is. Hold on. I'd heard about the kid. I'd probably seen some clips. Actually, I seen a clip recently on somebody's reel, and I was like, oh, this kid is ill. So I was like, yeah, let me check him out. And it was only there's only a few Americans left, and he was amongst the black Americans. It's just him and Coco at this point. And what's my man's name? Hold on. Francis Tiafoe. So, yeah, I just got hip to Francis Tiafoe. And I just watched him play what's this kid's name? Alex Mickelson. They played for 4 hours and 38 minutes. I watched that shit like The Godfather 1 and 2. I can't even believe I sat in front. I've been trying to cook. That's why I'm starting late, because it stalled my whole day. I thought it was going to be a little quick one like some of these other ones. Nah, these motherfuckers was going crazy. And it was looking like the guy, Alex Mickelson, he's a younger kid. That's the other thing. They're all so young. A lot of them are so young. Even if they older in the game, they still like 28, 20. Like, homie, Francis was, I think, 22. I think he's 22, and he's playing a kid that's 18. You know, so he becomes the elder of the squad. Like, even Coco, I want to say she's 22, maybe 22, 24. She was playing a girl who was like 18, 19. You know, all these kids is like, you know, super young. And, you know, it's just interesting that you become the elder that fast. But it's been pretty good. That was a hell of a... Oh, so anyway, the kid Alex, he hadn't lost a set this entire tournament. So he hadn't lost a set to this entire tournament. And he was making... Not making light work of Big Foe, but he was... It was a good one. It was competitive as hell. But there was a part where he was about to wrap him up. Like 2 hours into the match, it looked like it was over for Big Foe. Big Foe came back. 2 hours. That shit came down to a 10-point shootout. Big Foe got busy. It was exhilarating. It was drama. Like, it felt good. I kind of want to go to this shit now. I want to go next year. I want to go next year for sure. I want to be in the mix. I love seeing the black folks on the court, but in the crowd, in the stands. Like, just enjoying life, you know, putting together ill little fits, you know, because tennis is an aesthetic. Get a honey deuce, an expensive ass honey deuce. I always loved honey dew, so a little honey deuce. I've been looking at that drink for years. They got the little bootlegs in the street, but I want to get the shit with the signature glass. Bring the glass home, like somebody had never been nowhere. That's how you could tell, and I think I've grown out of that. But man, my little cabinets, they would tell you where I've been in the world. Don't let it be a little specialty cup. Boy, I used to keep all of that shit. I used to be, there was one point back in the day, I used to get me a shot glass from every city, wherever I went in the world. Anytime I left the city, I went and would get me a little shot glass on the way back. I had so many shot glasses when I was moving one day. And I don't know if they fell and they shattered or whatever. Something just was like, come on, bro. Where you going with all these damn shot glasses? I had quite a collection. It's ridiculous. Hoarding. It can be fun. Until. I've never been. This is some shit I used to see in colleges. Mostly, I guess, like, probably white colleges. I didn't really see it too much in black colleges, but like the whole thing of collecting alcohol bottles and then have them across the room, like all of the alcohol if you've consumed, like that becomes like a trophy. Anyway, if you know what I'm talking about, jump in the comments. But yeah, yes, it was good. It was really good. I enjoyed it. I'm tapped in. I found out about a few new tennis players. What's her name? Arina Sabalenka, I think her name is. Hold on. Arina Sabalenka is no joke. I think she ranked number one. Arina Sabalenka is no joke. I hope that Coco Gauff and Arina Sabalenka meet in the finals, because that'll be a battle. Coco is no joke, man. Coco's no joke. Sabalenka's no joke either. That shit would be good. That it made me respect, because there was a point where I was watching Naomi and I was thinking to myself, I was like, damn, you know, do the black players have the extra, you know, the pressure of like, I got to do this for the people. You know what I'm saying? Because we all invested, you know, the people is watching the people like, come on, Naomi, come on, Coco, come on, Big Foe. Because that's it. That's all we got so far. I mean, left. And it was looking hairy for all three. That little girl Eva was going crazy for a little bit, but Coco, that's the thing. Like I said, that little bit of those couple years of age and experience, it comes in handy, because then There's a level of calm. There's a level of patience. You're less likely to get frustrated, you know. And I saw that, like, with the Foe versus Mickelson match. Mickelson was, again, he hadn't lost a set the whole tournament. He was killing it. Actually, he's the first person born in 2004 to ever go this far in the U.S. Open. It's crazy. This motherfucker was born in 2004. But you could see him getting frustrated. They both was getting a little frustrated, but, like, Tiafoe was a little bit more cool, a little cool under pressure. I guess it's just he been there. He probably lost. It's funny because, and I want to watch it now, the dude Mickelson, you know, because they come up. Everybody knows everybody. So you come up watching certain people. So he was like, man, I remember watching Tiafoe versus Federer here at the Open or on Arthur Ashe court. And he talking about that shit like it was a movie or like a mixtape or album, you know. Like, he was like, yo, Federer versus Tiafoe, I seen it. I was like 12. And I looked it up on YouTube. That shit about two hours and some change. I might check it out a little bit, you know, because Federer was a bad dude too. But yeah, man, it was good. It was good watching. It's been good so far. I don't know if y'all watching. If you watching, let me know in the comments. You've been following the U.S. Open. I remember once, it's probably been more than once, but I remember trying to play tennis just on some recreational shit. I tip my hat to them tennis players, because it's really just suicides. A lot of the game is just doing suicides and hand-eye coordination, like being on point and angles. It's like pool with suicides with, yeah, man, it's a lot. It's a lot. But shit, they 4 hours of that shit? It was crazy. It was really good. So that's why, I mean, you wouldn't know anyway, because the pod's going to hit when the pod hits. But I'm just telling you, yeah, I'm a little behind schedule. Actually, quite a bit behind schedule. But, you know, always want to talk to the people. Chris Rock just did a new interview in Variety magazine. Probably first Q&A since the slap, which is interesting. You know, I mean, he came out with selective outrage since that Oscar situation, but this is the first time I think that he's done a Q&A. They say on the record, you know, he's starting to do some press support for the Misty Green movie, which I feel like I'm getting a little bit more and more excited about seeing. I'm going to watch it either way, but, like, I really hope it's good. It was an interesting interview. The one thing that really struck me, two things, and no pun intended, but the reporter, it's been 4 years since Will Smith slapped you. How do you feel about it now? Listen, she waded way, way, way deep into the interview. It wasn't no Charlamagne shit. It was like the first question. It's pretty direct. I mean, he didn't really get too deep into it. I want to say the answer was something like, you know, to kind of answer your question is, I wish it hadn't happened, but I don't want to kind of, you know, say anything that's going to kind of take attention away from how good she was in the movie. Rosalind Elazar, who's kind of fairly, not new, but somewhat unknown British actress who's leading the movie. He says she's ill. She kind of killed it. They wanted to go with, since the, you know, the movie is kind of about a fallen star, you know, the obvious approach would be to go with somebody who had, like, a big name, but he was like, a lot of people didn't really, he had some people in mind, but it could be tricky. There was some nudity. It's light nudity in the movie. I think it was more in the script, so a lot of people kind of shy away from that. And, you know, it was the summertime, they were shooting and various other shit. So it was interesting. But the other part that was interesting, I don't know, I hope he's kind of exaggerating or bugging out, but, you know, they were asking about, you know, his career as a comedian, you know, and he was like, yeah, I think that, like, he's not in the club like he used to be anymore, like, doing comedy, working shit out. And he was like, yeah, I think I've gotten enough. I think I've gotten all I could have gotten. I think I've gotten all I can get out of that last guy. Now I'm more of a director now. What? I don't believe that shit. I truly don't believe that shit, man. I think he's my favorite comedian. I mean, my favorite comedian of all time is Eddie Murphy, but Eddie ain't been active since shit, like the 80s. But he's my guy. But as far as like comics that inspired me that are, you know, ahead of me in the game, you know, yeah, out of the OGs, Chris Rock is my favorite. You know, I think he's the best. So for him to be like, yo, I think we got enough of that, I'm like, all right, I don't know. Even though Selective Outrage wasn't really my favorite piece, you know what I mean? I'd have to rewatch Tambourine. I mean, his early work is crazy. And then just seeing him work out is one of the best things you could see as a comedian. Just to see somebody at that level, like, just fucking fumbling around with premises. You know, the shit is amazing. And just the shit that don't even make the fucking... that don't even make the special. Dude is a beast. Anyway, so that should be interesting. I'm curious to see that. Misty Green. I'm curious to see that movie. I think that comes out in October. That should be good. But even more, what I'm more excited about is I really think that he's going to be doing a lot of press to promote the movie. And I think Chris Rock is always good in the media. And, you know, in interviews, he always got a gem or two. You know, he had something that was kind of interesting. He said in this thing, he was like, you know, I'm just talking about money. And he was like, you know, my father got sick when I was broke. He's dead. You know, my mom's got sick when I had a little money. She's great. It's as simple as that. That's how money works. You know, but yeah, I'm curious to see, you know, what type of shit he going to talk about. Hopefully, I think I might have said this already, but hopefully he do a Criterion Collection video. That'll be interesting. I'm excited about that. More so excited about the press run because the cat hasn't really talked since, you know, the slap. And I doubt he's going to really get too deep into that anyway, as he said. I'm not trying to, I don't want to distract from everything going on, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see. I feel like they both have kind of been on the low, him and Will Smith. I've rewatched Wild Style. I finally watched the whole shit. Because I was watching it. I know I've been talking about this Fab Five Freddy book. This is probably the last time I'll speak on it because I actually finished it. I never realized he was responsible for Wild Style. Like him and Charlie Ahern, I didn't realize that was like his thing until later on. Like I didn't realize that. And I remember, shout out to my man Skeeter. Well, rest in peace to my man Skeeter D. Shout out to my man Godfather Lex. You know. That was my OG Criterion Collection. These two had everything on tape. They were taping everything. But I remember they had Wild Style, and I must have seen it, you know, here and there, like maybe pieces of it or whatever. But after reading the book and just hearing everything that went into putting that film together, and that was the first time he had ever really worked on a film. That was the first film, first hip-hop film that kind of, it was de facto first film that showcased rap, graffiti, breakdancing, you know, jams, the whole shit. It was good. It's early. You know what I'm saying? It's early. It's an early movie, early indie film. You know, it's the beginnings of it all. But it's so many little clips of it that are iconic. You know, the beginning of Illmatic is taken from Wild Style. Just all types of interesting little things. And some of that stuff I do remember, like the little battle scene on the basketball court, you know, how that was shot. Just some of the shots, some of the things that they chose to do. It was dope. It was good to watch it. It was really good to watch it. It was cool how they told certain parts of the story, you know, or some of the choices they make. There's one part where... I mean, it's basically, quote-unquote, like an orgy going on at the hotel with, like, Fade, who's played by Fab Five Freddy, Zorro, who's played by Lee Quiñones, and then Busy B, and then, like, these 3B girls. These girls that just came, they came from the party. They're just trying to have a good time. They go to the hotel. It's a one-bed hotel. It's six people, and I think it's Fade that just be like, I mean, I guess we should just have an orgy. Just say it on some real matter-of-fact shit. Have an orgy. And the girls, they group up, the three of them, be like, yo, what you thinking? I thought this was going to be a little different, but y'all down? And then I guess they was down. But the way that they kind of show it without showing it was kind of slick. You know, it wasn't in your face. It wasn't over the top. There was no nudity. There was some clips of like or it was like some clip art from like the old astrology, Kama Sutra stuff. You probably seen it a lot. Like it looked like something that would be, that would complement like a black light, or be in a room with a black light, or like a lava lamp or whatever, where everything is like, you know, you turn the lights off and it kind of glow, and it's got these figures in these wild Kama Sutra positions or whatever. It was slick. It was slick. Overall, it was a cool movie. Overall, it was a great piece of work to kind of really like spread the gospel of that culture, of hip hop culture. Like it did a lot, and you know, obviously that led to him hosting MTV Raps and all of that shit. Like it's a good biography, a good autobiography. Shout out to my man Kasim. He was like, I'm surprised there's not a documentary on Fab Five Freddy. I feel like this book might put that in motion, because from my own observation of Fab Five Freddy, he seems real in the cut, real low key, kind of very like real. If you know, you know. If you don't know, if you're not hip, you know, you probably won't know. And it don't really seem like that's a big concern of his to want everybody to be like, oh, you the guy that da 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 da. Like, he don't really seem that obsessed with that. Oh shit, tonight the drop premieres. I feel like it ain't really been a whole lot of promo on this. I just was looking it up just now because I was about to say, yo, the Snowfall sequel, you know, that follows Wanda and Lee. And it look like they, you know, they trying to build like a record label in like the 1980s LA situation. That comes out today. I hope it's good. I hope it's good. I'm a little wary about that and a little wary about A Different World. I hope both of them are good, but we'll see. My biggest fear with the drop is the fact that John Singleton is not around. With it being a spinoff of Snowfall, I hope the tone somewhat matches. Obviously, the story is different. The characters are different, but I just hope that it's grounded in the way that Singleton would typically ground LA stories. I felt like, and we talked about this with Ali back in when Snowfall was on, after Singleton died, you could kind of feel like the writer's room kind of changed up. The tone of the stories kind of got a little bit wonky in my mind. But, you know, I'm a big fan of Gail Bean, so I really hope the shit is good. And I'm definitely going to watch, but I didn't realize it comes on tonight. Damn. I feel like it ain't been a whole lot of press on it. Maybe I'm bugging. Maybe I haven't been looking. I mean, my screen time did go down a little bit, so maybe I missed it. I just saw Janae Aiko says she putting an album out Friday, which is coincidental because I came across a tweet or something that was like, yo, Janae Aiko probably the illest MC from the West Coast. Now, okay, that's a little hype. You know, it's a little hyperbole, but it's a little extreme. But they was like, yo, Janae be rapping. Cats don't even realize she got balls. She get busy. So I was like, let me, because I do like Janae. I do think she got away with words. She say some slick shit. But I was like, let me look here. I did some Googles like, yo, you know, what songs does Janae kind of rap on or do this thing? And, you know, she got some wordplay. Got some slick wordplay. She got her own lane. It's very, you know, I think she has a lane to herself. So I'm curious to see what she gonna do on this thing. I think it's called West Side Whimsy, which is hilarious. Whimsy. I mean, I could see a little, I see her more as a woo-woo than a whimsy, but I guess whimsy and woo-woo, they kind of, they're a bit on there. They overlap on the Venn diagram. You know what I'm saying? She definitely barefoot in the park. That's whimsical. You know, so we'll see what happens with that. You know, we could all use a little bit more whimsy in our life anyway. Get your whimsy on. Frolic a little bit. Shit, I know the summer's over. You can frolic in the fall. Listen, got a couple things going on. September 19th, I'm in Comedy in Harlem. Uptown at Comedy in Harlem. Headliner September 19th. Tickets are on sale now. September 20th. I'm at the Arlington Draft House, Arlington, Virginia. Tickets are still on sale. ArlingtonDraftHouse.com, DamianLemon.com. And then I got something else coming. Got something else cooking up. Hopefully next week I'll have an announcement. I think that's it. I'm transforming, I'm rolling out, and you know what? As always, tell a friend to tell a friend. Oh, you're an enemy. To get in the conversation. Hello, 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 hello.